Oh my gosh, we are back again for Asian Cult Cinema, Radio St. Pete exclusive. I almost said that. My name is Mal, with me as always.
Dr. Morbius.
This is show 43.
My God, 50.
Nope, 43.
Well, close.
Yeah. Close enough. What are you going to do? Ah, this is the show dedicated to bringing you all kinds of crazy Asian cult cinema from whenever and
even
wherever.
Even some where Asians are not what they are.
Oh, the whitewashing of cinema started years, decades ago.
It started in the early, but even in the 60s, in the late 60s, they were still, you know.
Wow.
What pulling that eyeball trick.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What? Tape. Putting tape on
there. I didn't realize that this was like an MST classic.
Oh yeah, it is. The cast. I knew this one. I saw this one before. We were talking about, what is it? The Castle of Fu Manchu
with Christopher Lee and Sun
Christopher
Chin.
Lee.
Christopher Lee was like the go-to guy for this. Isn't Hammer? The first few were made by Hammer, and they were actually better movies. By the third one, they were licensing them out to Jess Franco, and they're like cheesier. This one has a lot of stock footage, especially from that Titanic movie
God.
At the beginning, which is hilarious.
God. So, Fu Manchu, if you have no concept of what we're talking about, there was a series of Fu Manchu movies.
It was novels. There was novels of Fu Manchu. Okay. The evil emperor wanted to take over the world.
Yeah, wanted to just classic, almost Bond or Austin Powers villainy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where I am going to control the world. Give me $100 million.
Yeah.
They used Christopher Lee as Fu Manchu. I thought they added a doctor to that.
Maybe
later.
Did.
Fu Manchu is one of those like stereotyped Chinese villains with
like
the long
the Mandarin.
Yeah, the Mandarin, and he wearing the, but it's played by Christopher Lee, and you're like, I didn't recognize it.
He's imposing.
Yeah, and I didn't recognize him as Christopher Lee.
No, you don't.
You couldn't tell. Because I was looking at pictures of him, and I was looking at pictures of him like throughout the years, and I was like, man, that is one good art department.
Yeah,
or makeup department, not art department, you know.
No, they did a good job. I mean, he looks very... He looks Eurasian, I guess. He doesn't look like that.
Yeah.
You know, but
Pan-Asian or...
Now, the girl, his daughter's Asian.
Yes,
Sai
she
Chen
is.
Asian. Yeah, and some of the henchmen were Asian,
what was
too.
She... What was she in?
Oh, God. She was in other movies. She was in all the... I think she was in all the Fu Manchu.
Was she in any... Yeah, was she in any Bond? Was she a Bond
she
girl?
She might have been.
No, I don't...
You know, I didn't look her up.
Christopher Lee plays Fu Manchu. Richard Green plays...
Nayland Smith of Scotland Yard.
Yeah, Nayland Smith. Howard Marion Crawford plays Dr. Petrie.
Yeah, assistant. Yeah.
Which every time they said Dr. Petrie, I thought of a Petrie dish. I know. I'm like, bad name choice. Gunter Stroll plays Dr. Kurt... Kessler.
Who later in the movie becomes a tough guy, which I wasn't expecting, and he starts beating up the thugs at
Dr.
the end.
Kurt Kessler also looks like he's Pauly from Rocky. He's the guy that's laying there that looks just like Pauly, doesn't he?
Oh, that's right. I'm getting the wrong guy confused. I'm thinking of the other doctor. Yeah, the guy who's like, who's with that great nose shot where like when he's lying down, you see the nose hairs.
Oh,
in his
God.
Nose.
And he
it's
looks
wonderful.
Just like Pauly. I was waiting for him to be.
Yeah, Burt Young. Yeah,
he looks just like Burt Young. And then,
Rosalba Neri, who is in tons of expectations. Rosalba Neri.
Nice name.
Other, a.k.a. Sarah Bay. She was in Lady Frankenstein. She was in tons of
and she played Lisa.
Exploitations. Even, she was in very sleazy exploitation.
Oh,
too.
Porn, you're saying.
No, almost.
Very sleazy.
Almost, not quite.
I know, I gotcha. The Skinamax stuff, probably. You know, like
kind
the,
of in that.
All book. Right, then Werner... Abrolat.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good.
As Milik.
That was the other doctor. Yeah.
See now she's at the very bottom. Sai Chin played Lin Tang.
And Maria Pershey was the Maria Pershey's not on there. She was the female then.
That was probably the click for more, and I just didn't click. You
missed Maria Pershey's, but was in tons of
Euro
B. This is like a cast of Jess Franco, the director of this, was infamous. Okay, he was almost like a sleazier European.
Sleazier European.
Roger Corman type of guy. He directed. Quote unquote directed, quote unquote, hundreds of movies. Sometimes he would make two movies
out of one.
He did. And actors would only be paid for one movie, and then when the actors see the other movie, they go, "Hey, I didn't get paid for that." And sometimes he would make a movie and not pay the actors. And sometimes he would make a movie and it would become multiple movies with multiple names. And sometimes he would make a movie, and there's a true story, and then Christopher Lee would be going through London and going like, "Hey, wait a minute, I made then that movie. Why does it have an X rating in it? I didn't make an X-rated movie."
He'd just pick up X-rated shots.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Jess
Franco was a notorious
scumbag.
Huckster for
He's
these
a
movies.
Scumbag is what you're saying. Like, wow, that's insane.
Kind of. But a talented one at times, you know. At times, he could be a hack. He could be good, sleazy as all hell, porno. You name it, anything.
This movie, although hilarious in an absurdity, it's absurd as far as the plot, as far as everything about this movie. It's absurd and hilarious that you laugh at it, not with it. It is. On the same, like, it's as good as some of those Godzillas towards the middle.
Kind of.
Where it's kind of pieced together. And the Kung Fu movies we watch, this is actually better than those.
Well,
it has.
I was able to get a nice print of it from the DVD. So this movie has been around for a while. And crappier, I can't say the word that I want to say, crappier prints that are really dark and nasty. This one looked really bright. The colors were really striking. So it's not as bad as what you read, or the reviews you read about. Like, I was reading some dork online from
Bunchofdorks.com.
I was reading some dork from some website called Mondo Exotico saying, like, "Oh my God, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. Thank God the only watchable version of this movie is the MST. And I'm like, "You're a dumb. That's not the word I want to use, but, you know, I'm just saying that. Because
that's,
I can understand
the worst
that
movie ever. My God.
That's what the guy
Expand
was saying.
Expand your horizons, dude.
You haven't seen Operation Las Vegas yet. You haven't seen Birdemic yet. You haven't seen a lot of things yet. So
maybe it was just...
You have to really go down to the gutter, to the... really...
The reason we are not a super huge movie review site is because we don't hate on stuff. That sells. If you hate on stuff and you just overemphasize how crappy and make fun of people, then you're going to be
because
big. Because snark sells now.
Because it's, like what this director once said, everybody reviews my movie, says it's like garbage. Hey, how about you try to make one? You know, how about you go to another country, get financing, get the cameraman, get the actors. How about you do it? And then when you do it, and maybe it's not that great, then you're going to know how. And then, of course, you know, the great Vincent Price line from
I think we need only think back to our wonderful Theater of Blood
from like a couple of weeks ago,
where he murders all the
a minute, that show wouldn't have aired yet.
No, it's
so funny. We have to in Theater of Blood there's a scene where Vincent Price keeps murdering his critics, Shakespearean critics,
because they did not understand his plight. The plight of the actor.
And he goes on this long soliloquy towards the end where he's getting ready to kill the last critic.
Nice.
And he goes, "You've never acted in a movie. You've never had to study. You've never done this, blah, blah, blah." And then,
you
of course,
merely just mock me.
And then the critic, of course, will say, "Well, still don't think you're any good."
Zing.
Da-boom.
Yeah. You know? This
is a comic book.
It is. I think other than the fact that it's a white guy playing the Asian thing, I don't know if it would even have notoriety if it wasn't for that. Like, would it? It's just...
You know, I made a mistake in picking this one. I mean, I ripped it, but I had another one. The one before it, which I think was called Blood of Fu Manchu, is way sleazier.
Oh, and you did make a mistake.
I made a mistake on that, but maybe I'll correct it in the future.
Yes, it's been a few boobless
this
weeks.
This was pretty clean.
What did I pick last week for Asian Cult Cinema?
Oh, God. What was it? It was...
That one wasn't boobless. That was that... Kunaki. Kunoichi. I'm sorry. Kunoichi, Lady Ninja.
That was
nudity everywhere.
That was mindless, actually, but not boobless. That was
it was
like,
awesome is what it was.
Plotless, but, you know.
All right. We're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to get in.
We're going to go into the castle.
To the zany world of Fu Manchu.
We're going to have scenes from the Titanic movie, A Night to Remember, scenes from earlier Fu Manchu movies, and probably some Godzilla movies. Stock footage.
makes me bleed my own blood. Nobody!
Ladies and gentlemen, a special announcement. This theater will soon show a special roadshow engagement. It is customary to show scenes from this program. However, because of the starkly different and realistic nature of this show, we will show no scenes from Mondo Kiazan and Wild Woman with a Whip. The New York Daily News says, this program makes Mondo Kani look like a Boy Scout meeting. If you sit through it all, you will receive free a 2-for-1 pass to a future movie, plus a free shrunken head to the first 100 cars, plus a drawing for the free slave girl whip. Check your newspaper for all the details. This is all we are permitted to tell you now. However, we can promise that when you see it, you will never forget it. And we urge you to tell no one what you see. This program is breaking records and astounding theatrical circles around the world. Come early so you will not be one of the unfortunate thousands that are being turned away nightly. Mondo Kiazan and Wild Woman with a Whip, both in shocking color.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
You know, I think that announcer might have gone a little bit overboard saying the thousands turned away each night.
Thousands.
I don't think they turned away thousands.
Yeah, it's the Thousands family. You know, their last name is Thousands.
Might be overselling it just a little bit. But hey, whatever. Those are some interesting ads that you found. The one
with the
free shrunken head, and oh my God.
Well, you know what they used to do back in the day? They would have a horror movie, and they go, with every movie, with for the first 100 people, a dead corpse, and they give you like a chicken. You know, like
so
a
gross.
Like a chicken to cook or whatever.
Yeah,
that, was
yeah.
That was the corpse that they would give you or whatever.
Wow.
I was like, oh, okay. Wah, wah, wah.
Those were the days.
And then there was the Mark of the Devil barf bag, you know, the barf bags that they would give you and, you know, all that.
Currently stuff. On eBay for exorbitant amount of money.
Yeah.
All right, so but that's not what we're talking about today. Today we're talking about here on Asian cult cinema.
Oh, that would be a cool thing that you could do with your silkscreen.
Oh, silkscreen
barf bags.
We should do Slow Robot a Go-Go barf bags.
Yeah, we should. For our movies. There you go.
And just send them out. Be
copyright.
Like, oh. if you want a branded barf bag, visit Daddy-O's Screen Printing.
There you go.
.com. That's me. I'm Daddy-O.
You're Daddy-O.
And I will screen print your barf bags
your
if you want.
Your Slow Robot barf bag. Because some of these movies will make you barf.
That's hilarious. All right. Yeah. So, anyway.
Castle of Fu Manchu.
Castle of Fu Manchu.
Sorry, now, Christopher Lee, the man of a thousand places.
Nothings. $1,000. The man of $1,000.
He probably made a few thousand each movie. These guys didn't make a lot of money off these movies. Not like
they kept
now.
Them hungry back then.
Yeah. Christopher Lee was probably in about 300 movies.
Yeah.
He didn't make them. He didn't make.
Oh, well, he's still
he
doing them.
He made a lot of money, but he
he's still doing them.
No, he's dead.
Well, he was in the Star Wars.
He died.
Oh, right after like that?
Yeah, he died a couple
He probably
years
killed
ago.
Himself because of Star Wars.
He was 97, that's 6 years old or something.
Wow, he looked young.
Yeah, he was old.
Anyway, now where are we at here? So basically, we start with Fu Manchu.
Fu Manchu, and he's like in his Fu Manchu lair, and he's like. Like there's like the Titanic. I'll show them my power. So he's able to. He wants to be able to freeze the seas, so he can take over the world and get every little bit. He control the world, and
I'm not sure about his plan.
Well, you know, he has grandiose ideas.
He suffers from delusions of grandeur, more like it. Because his theory is, I'm going to hold the world hostage. Otherwise, I'll freeze their oceans. And I'm like, yeah, but you live on the world. So,
but he'll have his own little pond there, his own Fu pond.
Also, how much does he think the oceans mean? Life would still go on.
Well, I mean, you know, yeah, it would, but it would stop, like, commerce, and it would, like, basically kill a lot of,
I know.
It would probably cause disasters in the world, too.
I guess it would, yeah. So, but anyway, so he's like, I'm going to hold the world ransom for $1 million, and $1 million, and then I'm going to show him a quick taste. I'll freeze an ocean liner in the Caribbean.
A freeze like an iceberg. Mm-hmm. Titanic.
Yes, Titanic.
Exactly. This is the first stock footage from A Night to Remember in black and white. So you've got the black and white footage in the color movie. Okay, fine.
Whatever.
He only had a black and white TV camera.
That's
okay.
What they did, didn't they? And so then his daughter's there and he's like, turn those switches. And she does. And it shows like some laboratory crap. And then it freezes. And then the Night to Remember... Titanic sinking footage is inserted.
Which they actually spent money on, big money with miniatures and all that, and a lot of extras. So then they steal all these scenes of people like, oh my God, falling and all this garbage. And he's like, see, I can do it. Meh, but I need more. I need...
Send me your money or I'm going to freeze the world. And then... Now we smash cut to two dudes picnicking, and you're like, this is making me feel uncomfortable.
This is England, though.
Yeah, London, England.
Where dudes picnic.
Yes, I'm sure. They're comfortable with their sexuality enough.
With
floppy
hats.
So they're out picnicking, and they're like, and there's some levity with a fish. And then somebody pulls up on a bike and goes like, yeah, you're needed in London now. Okay, well, let's get on the train. Now it's like a spy movie because they're like, oh, they're sitting there, and there's like long table of people all harumphing and smoking. And there's a speaker in the middle, and they're like, this is Dr. Fu Manchu. You will be given coordinates to send me money, or I'll freeze the ocean.
He did steal Christopher Lee's voice for Dr. Evil,
didn't he? Of course he did, yeah.
He did steal his voice.
basically, these people, the Scotland Yard is there to solve
Nayland
the case.
Nayland Smith of Scotland Yard.
Nayland Smith of
Scotland Yard.
Scotland Yard is there to crack this case over the speaker. Is Dr. Fu Manchu just spouting off his philosophies and how they're going to give him money? And then they're like, well, how are we going to find this dude? And then, but then while they're harumphing and furrowing their brows, thinking about how they're going to solve this case, then we go to some girl, which is his daughter, working with going to see this Egyptian drug dealer.
Yeah.
And he's like, I know
the
where...
They have the fez on, so you know what they are.
We're going to go... you and me are going to break in, and our gangs are going to join forces and break in and steal all the opium in the world underneath this one police place that keeps it all.
Yeah.
And he goes, sounds like a logical plan.
It's a castle.
Yeah, it's a castle. Of course it's a castle.
Opium castle.
Opium castle, you know, owned by the police. So she's like, you break in and let us know, and then our forces will come. And the drug dealer's sidekick is a woman that dresses like a man.
Yeah, there's Alvin Ari from many countless B-movies.
Okay, yeah. So they're there, and they do it, and they killed the three guards in charge of this castle.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
That was a tough job, wasn't
it? Yeah, why didn't they just have slingshots and just kill them with slingshots? It would have been the same.
Yeah.
So, and then
Or kill them with kindness.
Or kindness, yeah. Then they shoot a flare up in the air, and then Fu Manchu's army, led by his daughter... storms the place.
Who's a nasty woman.
Oh, she's rough.
She's pretty rough. Rougher than Fu. Fu's just like delegates evil. She does it.
Yeah, he knows how to delegate. That's how he uses his management skills best.
Yeah.
So they're there, and then they're in the middle of this place, and they're like, man, by the way, double cross. And then they grab him, and they kill some people, and...
They leave her alive.
They leave the man lady alive for some reason.
And put her in the dungeon.
Fu Manchu's like, no, we were to use her.
He wanted
her
to have some
later.
Fun, some whipping S&M fun. Or...
And then the daughter was like, well, I can kill this one. And they do a head chop, but they don't show that. How do you have a head chop and they don't show the head rolling down the steps?
Yeah, I know. It was 69, so maybe...
Because you know that's supposed to have a head rolling down the steps.
That was pre-head chopping.
Good point.
Oh, you're right. They could have just had like a coconut going
It's the standard shot.
Yeah, you're right.
Because they made her like she cut
that.
The thing.
They
I was like, cheapos.
Bad move.
It was a bad move. It lacked realism. But anyway, so now... so now
it's like gravitas.
Yeah, sure, whatever. So now the... Now it's like kind of...
Now Fu takes over the castle.
Yeah, okay.
And he goes, okay, now that I've got the castle and the opium, I've got this doctor that's like in the... Dr. Kessler, who's like dying, and now that I got the opium, I need him to do... He knows how to make...
The process.
The process in order to freeze all the oceans, but he's like dying.
Yep. And the reason they needed the opium was because a byproduct of the opium is what fuels the chemical process that freezes the ocean. And the doctor's dying, and they're like, uh-oh, we need that guy to do this process more to freeze the oceans. Otherwise, I can't carry out my threat.
He's got another process. He's got another, whatever you want to
make it bigger.
Scientific thing to make it like all over
so
the world.
So it can do the so it can do the ocean.
As opposed to an iceberg, they want they want Dr. Kessler alive to work on it to make it a global threat.
Pauly from Rocky 3 is dying, so he's like, well, he sends his forces to go kidnap two of
European
the top European heart surgeon and his plucky hot nurse who loves him, but he doesn't know that. Well, who cares?
They find out
yet.
Later.
So now they bring them in. They're like, okay, yeah, you're going to save that girl. All right, we're going
to
take a quick break, and then we come back, and
we're gonna try
what's
going to
happen?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my God. We'll be right back.
Now I swear, the next one of you primates even touches me. Yeah!
Hey guys, come check out Two Dimension Comics, the comic book podcast with no direction.
We feature candid roundtable discussions about all things comics, past and present, with a killer soundtrack.
We like to include visuals of everything we talk about on the show. You can find that by going to bunchofdorks.com
and click on the Cyclops!
Johnny, what can you make out of this?
This? Well, I could make a cap, or a brooch, or a pterodactyl.
But before we get into our movie to finish it out, I do also want to remind people, please go to projectpinball.org. That is a 501c that's a local to the area. They put pinball machines, they're a charity organization, puts pinball machines in children's hospitals to bring happiness to a kid that really needs some happiness and some escapism. Yeah. So, please. And they always have raffles and kind of cool stuff. So, you know, you might win, and also you'll win in life for helping kids.
Yeah.
So, projectpinball.org. Also go to bunchofdorks.com. That's where all of our other podcast concerns reside. I just dropped in the bumper for Two Dimension Podcast. But you can also go there for Slow Robot A-Go-Go, which is Dr. Morbius and mine B-movie review show. We're like coming up on 300 shows deep. It's insanity.
Crazy, man.
So do that stuff.
You'll be glad
you did.
I know between all our podcasts, I'm closer to been on 500 podcasts. You must be hitting 1,000 by now.
I'm way over 1,000.
You're way over 1,000.
I'm like 20 million shows I've been on the internet.
My God, you're king of all podcasters.
I think I might be.
You must be rich.
I'm poor as dirt.
And I'm poorer.
Yeah, I'm poor and he's poorer. We're doing a new podcast about
being poor and poorer,
about our jobs being outsourced and us living on dirt.
We're doing a comedy called Poor and Poorer, a sequel, not a sequel to Dumb and Dumber, but you know.
I just dropped in a Dumb and Dumber thing. All right, okay,
we're
blinking ink. Yeah. All right. So back to the movie.
Oh, my headphones almost came.
Oh, sorry. Oh my God, I'm Picasso now. Buy my painting.
Oh, Van Gogh.
Oh yeah, sorry. I'm Van Gogh. Buy Picasso's paintings.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway.
There you go, Vincent. Anyway.
So, Vincent from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
No, so Vincent anyway. Vega. Yeah, Vincent Vega. Buy Pulp Fiction's paintings. Anyway, now what are we doing here? So, they got the doctor and the nurse, and they're like, now you got to fix the guy from Rocky. You got to fix Paul,
you
Burt Kessler's, Young. What is
Paul? You got to do a heart. Yeah, Pauly.
You
got to
fix Burt Young's heart. Pauly has to live on for Rocky IV.
And we have a guy who's already donated, a big husky muscular guy. He's going to give us his heart because he's a trooper, this guy.
Yeah, this guy. I can't say enough good about
this
guy.
There's a great guy here. He's going to be dead soon, but he's a great guy. You know?
Going to put his name on the chiseled wall of Dr. Fu Manchu.
The champ over there, that guy.
So, anyway. The doctor's at first harumphing, and we're not doing it, and then they're like, well, we'll murder you. Okay, now I'm going to do it. So they twist something. But at this point now,
they kidnap these two from Europe, and then they put them in frozen, suspended animation and coffins.
In this long, like...
Why didn't you just, like, take them in the Fu Manchu plane or whatever and bring them... You have to put them in coffins.
You have to have an evil...
Fu didn't have enough money to have his own plane or something?
You have to have an evil helicopter.
Helicopter.
The 60s and 70s loved helicopters. Those ones with a big acrylic bubble.
How can you dominate the world if you don't have 50 bucks? If you have a couple thousand for a helicopter, Come on, man.
Samurai Cop had a helicopter.
I think Fu was a scammer, you know what I mean?
It's a Ponzi scheme. He's full of crap. I think he was working. He's a liar. He didn't have all this stuff. He just thought he had money. He didn't have nothing.
Anyway, liar. So he brings him over to do the operation, and then Nayland Smith finds out where his castle is. He goes, okay, I'm going over there with my trusted assistant, old man McGee.
And then McGee. But then at that point, then the Egyptians are like, hey, those guys ripped us off. Let's kill them. So then they're after him too, like that. There's like this guy skulking around. He's like, oh, I know all this information. He's like, yes, but I must buy it, right?
Franco, the director.
Yeah. Oh, great. So so then this guy's like, yeah, I have all this information. He's like, okay, whatever. And then they're like, oh, they double crossed you. So now they're like, well, let's go kill him, I guess, because we're Egypt, you know.
So now everybody's out to get
everybody's Fu after Fu Manchu.
And Fu's getting ready to...
Yoda's after him for double-crossing the Alliance, you know.
And the Doctor's got his new heart, you know, so he's getting ready to rumble.
Pauly is like, all right, my heart's good.
He's still resting, but he's good. He survived.
Yeah, that's one part of this movie. They padded the heck out of this movie. That operation scene...
Oh, it was 5 minutes. I fast-forwarded.
I did, too, because I was like, come on.
I didn't want to see the fake little heart pumping or anything.
And then they kept showing the clock, and then they'd show the people, and then the plucky girl who was... She was really attractive.
Yeah,
was like,
Percy, yeah.
She's, like, dabbing the sweat off the doctor, saying, like, oh, hum-a-hum-a-ha, you know, and you're like, yeah.
Because in some of these movies... Which is funny, they did an assignment of terror. It's like when you go into the operation, okay, I do an operation, and then all of a sudden they actually cut real open heart surgery footage.
I know, and I was like, gross.
I don't want to see that. That's
I'm
yucky.
Eating dinner at this point. I'm like, you
I'm
better
like
not.
Spaghetti and something. You know, I don't want to see that. So I fast forwarded through it. So anyway, that's done. The two factions are like, you know, going in to try to like infiltrate, and we find out that what's her face, Rosalba Neri, was still alive. She was a whipping girl. You know, so she's still around. So, and then the doctor and the good, for all their good deeds, they get stuck in the dungeon at some point to be executed.
You gotta know they're gonna just kill you. Why, you know, I would have just botched the surgery.
Yeah, botched the surgery, go, nah, I don't think so. Yeah,
now I'm Fu Manchu, see? And start killing people with your scalpel.
So then, like, Nayland Smith shows up and he's at the castle, and the Turks are out in there too, and they confront each other and they decide to join forces.
Yeah, at first they're like, ah, I got you. And they're like, you know, I think it would be better if we work together. And they're like, yeah, good idea. You know.
So then the Turkish guy, the head guy, goes in, and he starts, like, and he confronts Fu Manchu. And then while that's going on, the Nayland Smith goes in through another part and starts, you know, I think he fights a few people, and he's trying to figure out, trying to stop, because Fu Manchu is getting ready to freeze the oceans.
Yeah, now he's like, well, I'm going to freeze the oceans. And then the doctor is also like, oh... First, there's this thing where the girl professes her love and like, I've always loved you. He's like, huh, you should have told me that earlier. Oh, I didn't want to get in the way of your work. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. And he's like, oh, by the way, I stole this acid. And he throws the acid on the lock. And he's like, now we can get out.
Yeah, he stole the acid while he was doing the operation. Yeah. What a...
Yeah, because I always keep really harsh, caustic acid around when I'm doing open heart surgery. That's just one of those things I've always done.
Yeah, well...
But anyway, so now they're running around scurrying through the catacombs of this castle. Nayland Smith...
He's
running around. He's let people
around.
Loose.
He sets the girl loose. He lets other people loose. They're getting ready to go, and Fu's getting ready. And they save they get Dr. Kessler, I think. They get him out of the thing. And so as they're like scurrying out, Fu's like...
Well, that's what... Yeah, Nayland Smithers is carrying... Because this part of the movie, I will talk a little bit about. It gets kind of nutty. You don't know who's scurrying where and why.
Because they're in underground caverns.
They're on underground caverns, and you know those old castle dungeon crawling stuff.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, you know. We've all been that. We've all opened that chestnut, you know.
Yeah, but
there's like, first you show the doctor and the nurse scurrying around. They're getting soaking wet, but then they're dry inexplicably. And then they show Burt Young, you know, Paulie's running around. But then, like, Nayland Smithers gets him because he has to help him walk. And the girl's with Nayland Smithers, but then she's like, I got to go back for the chick.
Yeah, no, the Rosalba Neri goes back to save, what was she? She was trying to save...
The girl.
Was she trying to save the... Oh, yeah. I forgot what she was. She was trying to save the girl. She was trying to save somebody.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Oh, no. She was looking for the Fez guy because she thought he might still be there or whatever.
Oh, okay. Oh, because she served him. That was her.
She was trying to say she didn't know he was dead, so she was trying to go back in and get him.
They were coming through this ocean, or this water, which Fu Manchu let into the catechism because his idea was...
Catechism was like in when I was in...
Body of Christ. Now you go and fight Fu Manchu.
Yeah.
So now, oh my God, sorry everyone. So now, he has some blood of Christ, and he's stumbling around a little bit too much blood of Christ. Yeah. So they're going through this stuff, and he's like, "Well, I'll let the water out down there and freeze them too, because who cares?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "I don't think you should do that. That's like breaking
that could hurt the castle.
That's breaking your plumbing. You know, your plumbing's never going to be the same." But Fu Manchu doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
He's crazy. He's a lunatic.
Yeah.
So. These people are like going through this water and it's just pouring and pouring on. But then they like pop out and they're like, "Oh, thank God that's over!" And they just run through the yard.
And Rosalba Neri drowns to death.
And she goes back and she gets drowned. And then
the castle kind of blows up.
That's what I'm like. Where is this from? There was no ticking clock. There was no showing like.
Well,
like,
I guess what happened was if the water was overflowing downstairs and it was destroying the structure of the castle, maybe it would set off all the gadgets.
That was a little vague.
Okay, well.
They should have had Polly go, "Hey, Rocco, I need your help in here." And then Stallone just comes in and starts punching the gauges. And then Ozzy's like, "Oh, so you stupid gauge."
That's a different movie.
Bang, bang, punches it. And then all of a sudden everything starts malfunctioning. And then Yoda comes and puts or Darth Vader chokes out what's the guy's name? Christopher Lee?
Yeah.
And then that weird octopus guy with all those lightsabers comes in. He's like, "I'll show you, I'm General Grievous." And then the end.
Yeah, okay, good. Anyway, getting back to our movie. So they have Nalan Sip escapes.
I like my alternate reality.
The doctor and the doctor turns out to be a fighter because he escapes and he actually beats up a couple
scientists
of
scientists and doctors back in the day were hardcore fighters.
Yeah,
I mean,
they were. They were bad guys.
Think of all those guys from Commando Cody. All those scientists really would lay waste to people. It was like, wow.
So they escape, and then Fu's castle blows up.
Scientists.
And then at the very end, as the castle's blowing up, they superimpose his face and goes, "I will return."
And you're like, "Oh, don't return."
He didn't really. Christopher Lee didn't do another one again. Other Fu Manchus probably happened, but...
Oh, yeah, there was a lot more Fu Manchus.
But he didn't make any anymore.
He didn't?
No, that was it. The fifth one was the last one for him. Fifth one's a charm.
It was in his contract. I will do no more than five fake Asian roles.
He did other movies for Jeff Franco, but no more Fu Manchu.
Really?
Yeah, he did other movies. He did sleazy movies for Jeff Franco.
Wow.
I told you, he did movies for Jeff Franco.
I know,
and
like,
he didn't know they were going to be dirty movies until he drove by the theater and he sees his name on the building. Oh, there's my movie, X. Wait a minute, I didn't make an X-rated movie.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah, that's the way it was back then, man. That's when life was interesting and good
now,
and better.
What other, I mean, Christopher Lee has
Dracula.
Been, no, I mean, he's been in like a billion things, but I'm trying to think, what would he be his like...
crowning achievement?
Yeah, what would, I mean...
Besides Dracula?
And Star Wars, I mean, but those were the crap Star Wars. He wasn't in the good Star Wars, was he?
He was in the middle Star Wars. I don't know if he got it to the... He wasn't in the... Peter Cushing was in the first one, but he got killed off.
Yeah.
Christopher Lee was in the Jar Jar Binks one.
That's what I'm saying, like...
But, so. You know, he still got there. But, man, he did so many...
I know.
So many movies.
He's always been a working actor, right?
All the way to the end.
That's, I mean, he's never not been on screen.
He never stopped,
He was like a Harry Dean Stanton.
Yeah, pretty much a B in exploitation. He was like one of the kings of exploitation movies, man.
That's cool. He's probably just liked some of that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Some of those guys... I'm sure Joe Estevez loves working on crap movies.
Because
who cares?
Imagine you're in Europe, you're a working actor... Franco goes, "Hey, I got can I get you for a week? I'll give you $2,000. All right, that'll pay for, you know,
who cares, whatever.
A nice vacation in Portugal or whatever. Sure, I'll do it, you know." So they did. And
so what would you give this one? I mean...
I'll give it a 6. You know, I think it's worth checking out for fun. So,
yeah.
Again, it's supposedly the worst. I'm going to try to find another one.
Yeah.
See if it's really that much way better.
I mean, the MSD version's funny. So if you haven't seen that, go see
that. Check that out, too.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It's like,
but it's not the worst movie of all
time. It's from 5 to 6. 5 to 6 is a good range in that range, you know.
It's the DVD. It's got nice production values. It looks good. Yeah. It's worth checking out.
All right, that's it for this week. My name's Mal. With me, as always,
Dr. Morbius.
And this has been Radio St. Pete Asian Cult Cinema. We will see you again next week with more crazy shenanigans, or shenanigans, as it were. See you next week, everyone.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.